The Lord be with you.
And with your
spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, but early in the morning he arrived again in the temple area, and all the people started coming to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery and made her stand in the middle. They said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. So what do you say?" They said this to test him, so that they could have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and began to write on the ground with his finger. But when they continued asking him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let the one among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again he bent down and wrote on the ground. And in response, they went away one by one, beginning with the elders. So he was left alone with the woman before him. Then Jesus straightened up again and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She replied, "No one, sir." Then Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, do not sin anymore." The Gospel of the Lord. As I was mulling over the readings for today, what stood out to me was from the first reading, the words of God through Isaiah, "Remember not the events of the past, the things of long ago consider not. See, I am doing something new." Then in the second reading, Paul tells us, "Just one thing, forgetting what lies behind, but straining forward to what lies ahead, I continue my pursuit toward the goal, the prize of God's upward calling." Remember not the events of the past. I am doing something new. And as I was thinking about it, suddenly it came to my head that in my conversations with people, I usually say, "I can't wait till we go back to what's normal." And I'm sure I'm not the only one. I see some heads kind of shaking here. And I thought, why do I say go back? Really, after 2 years of our experience with COVID, which was difficult, which was, you know, painful, which was really hurtful for many people who lost loved ones, do we want to go back? Well, God's word is telling us, look forward, look to the future, and doing something new. Going back is almost saying everything we went through these 2 years was for nothing. We're just going back to where we are. Why aren't we thinking going forward to a new normal, to a new beginning? I mean, haven't we learned anything from those 2 years of COVID? Shouldn't what we have learned help us to become better, look for a better future, make this world a better place? And as I began to think more about it, many things came about in my mind. What did I learn from those 2 years? Well, one thing I think we all learned is how fragile human life is. Some people who caught COVID within a week or so, they died. Others, maybe sometimes in the same household, they just had symptoms like a cold or a bad flu. Out of nowhere, suddenly millions of people died because of a virus. What I learned too is that really we are not in control. All the scientists, the doctors of the world, the researchers, they could not stop the spread of the virus. Brothers and sisters, we are not in control. And yet we spend so much time and energy trying to control our lives, trying to control the lives of our families, our loved ones, our workplaces, our country, our parishes, our church. We keep thinking, well, I'm in control. We're not. That's a big change. That's a big difference in how we think. Also, I think all of us experienced the danger of isolation. Really, we realized how important being in community is, being with other people. You know, for a few months, we had to just lock ourselves at home and only go out to grocery stores or to the doctors or any other emergency needs. And we realized that's not good. That's not who we are. That's not what we want. We're still talking about the impact of that on our children and them missing school and having to learn on Zoom. And yet sometimes people say, well, you know, I don't need a church. I'm a spiritual person. I can do it on my own. Maybe that's something we can learn from those last 2 years. We cannot do it on our own. We need community. Another thing I think that was heightened by COVID is the anger, the impatience that people have, the divisions among ourselves, our own families, our own church, our nation, the world. You know, the COVID virus didn't bring this on to us. They were all there before. What COVID being a stress that was put on us is just they all bubbled to the surface. We couldn't agree on whether we should wear masks or not, or should we get vaccinated or not. And people were so angry on simple things. These are important lessons that would help us, truly, if we reflect on them, not to go back to that normal, because that normal is what led to what we've seen in the last 2 years. The same thing the prophet Isaiah is telling the people who were in exile and now beginning to return to Jerusalem, to their homes. Don't think of the past. Don't remember things that happened a long time ago. I am doing something new. I don't want you to go back to where it were before, because that's what ended you and helped you to get back into exile. We need to learn from our experiences, not to keep looking to the past. So what is this new normal, if you want to call it? What is this something new that Jesus or God is doing for us? Well, if you remember when Jesus came, the first thing he said, the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus came to establish a new kingdom, not in the way of kingdom you understand, kingdom with a king and army and boundaries, but a kingdom based on values, on new values. And one of those foundational values that Jesus talked about that we should have if we want to be a part of this kingdom is what our gospel is all about today. Last Sunday, we heard the gospel of the prodigal son, but that's from the gospel of Luke. The gospel of John does not have the gospel of the prodigal son. He has the story of the woman caught in adultery. And you say, well, those different. No, they're not different. Jesus is the loving father. The woman caught in adultery is the prodigal son. And the Pharisees and scribes are the older son who didn't like Jesus' message of forgiveness and mercy. That's the foundational value that Jesus is telling us that this kingdom of God should have. Forgiveness. When we read the gospel or hear it, right away we begin to thinking, well, where's the man? That's not the point of the gospel. Or what did Jesus write on the floor, on the ground? That's not the point. The point is simple. Let the one without sin cast the first stone. And then, woman, I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. Forgiveness is essential if we want to be disciples of Jesus Christ. Forgiveness is the foundation of this new order that Jesus came to establish. Forgiveness is one of those few things that Jesus taught us over and over in the gospel that we need to learn to forgive. In the Our Father, what do we say? Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Simultaneously, as we. Jesus told his disciples, unless you forgive your brothers and sisters, God will not forgive you. I mean, how more plain does he have to be? On the cross next Sunday, we're going to hear Jesus says, forgive them, Father, they do not know what they do. And yet, we turn away from this great gift that Jesus came to give us, the gift of forgiveness. You know, on Easter Sunday, we'll hear that in a couple Sundays, when Jesus appeared to the apostles, he breathed on them the Holy Spirit, and he told them, those sins you forgive will be forgiven. And that's why the church continues that ministry of the forgiveness of sins through the sacrament of reconciliation. Because it's essential. And if we don't see God's forgiveness, how are we going to forgive one another? What we see in the world, this division, this violence, this hatred, the war between Russia and Ukraine, it's not because the world is forgiving. People are forgiving and compassionate and generous and merciful. It's because the opposite. We are not forgiving. And we're becoming more and more unforgiving because we are not seeking God's forgiveness in the sacrament of reconciliation. So let me ask you this question. When was the last time you went to confession? And maybe another question, take some time to think about today. Why don't you go to confession? Now, I want to be transparent here, put everything on the table. It's not like I go to confession every week. Actually, I don't like going to confession. I have to kind of put it on my calendar and force myself, psych myself up to go to confession. Now, my reason for not going to confession is, well, you know, lately I haven't killed anyone. I haven't committed adultery. I haven't ruined anyone's life because, like, gossip or whatever. Okay, I get angry. I get angry at Father Andrew, but it's his fault. He should go to confession. Sometimes, you know, talking to people and knowing about my life, I mean, what do you have to go to confession for? Well, you know, my disadvantage, in a way, is I don't have a spouse. If you don't know what you need to work on and improve, ask your spouse. They'll help you. Ask your best friend. You know, Jesus said it's easy for us to see the speck in someone else's eyes than to see the log in our eye. That's human nature. And remember, when we think of sin, we think, oh, you know, it's like horrible things that I have done. I don't want to, you know, go talk about them. Most of us, brothers and sisters, don't do those horrible sins. I hope. But we all can get better. What St. Paul is saying, we are on a journey to get better, to get the point we can forgive, not just our loved ones, but even our enemies. But we have problem forgiving our loved ones. It's how can we get better? How can we be more loving and more forgiving, more compassionate? And to admit that I cannot do it by myself, I need God's grace. I need God's help. That's why we go to confession. Not so that we're going to tell God something he doesn't know, our sins. God knows everything we've done. And people say, well, you know, I can't talk to God and tell him my sins. That's great. But how's God going to talk to you and tell you, go and sin no more. I absolve you from all your sins. He uses another human person. It's not just because the priests were not sinners. We're sinners like everyone else. But we also need to hear it from another person. We go to confession like you do to another priest to tell us, you know, God has forgiven you. There is no sin greater than God's love, no matter what you've done. Don't be afraid. We all heard about the famous Oscar slap. I guess it got more attention than the Oscars itself. Just think if the, and you know, Will Smith apologized to everyone publicly. Just think if the Oscar committee came out today and said, we reviewed the facts, what he did, what Will did is not acceptable, but he apologized and we believe he's sorry, sincere, so we're not gonna put any, you know, a punishment on him. We're not gonna do anything for him. What would you think? Would you agree with that decision or you'll be upset? I bet you if they take a poll, most people will be upset. What do you mean you're gonna let him scot-free? You know, sometimes we don't go to confession because it seems like so easy. Really, God gonna forgive me because I go in and tell him I'm sorry and that the priest says, well, okay, pray one Hail Mary or one Our Father. Sometimes, you know, when I tell them, okay, your penance is one Hail Mary, they go, that's it, Father? Shouldn't I pray more? It's not like we're making up for our sins by saying a prayer. The prayer reminds us that now we can call God Father again because he has forgiven us. Jesus already paid the price for our sin. That's the price. When we go to confession, we're not paying up for our sins. We're not making up for our sins. We're just saying, I'm sorry, I want to do better. I don't want to continue to be this way. A lot of times, you know, we're thinking just about the bad things we've done, but what about the good that we can do and we're not doing? What about, you know, what God maybe is calling us to do, but we're not willing to do it, it's difficult, I'm scared. I doesn't want to rock the boat of my life now and try to do something new. We go to confession to get the grace and the love of God that will help us move forward to a new life, to a new beginning, become new people. It's not what we've done in the past. That's over with. But do we have the desire to do better? Do we recognize that we are not perfect? That we can become better with the help of God. So as you know, we have confessions here every Saturday from 8:45 to 9:45 in the morning. We have confessions every Tuesday from 6 in the evening to 7. In a week from Tuesday of Holy Week, April the 12th, we have a penance service at 7 p.m. There'll be visiting priests with us. Sometimes people, I don't want to go to Father like he knows me. Every time I see him, he's going to like remember what I have done. Let me tell you, we don't remember anything what you've done. Because most of the time it's boring. You can go to a priest you don't know, you never see again. You can go to a different parish. You can make a trip of it, go to San Diego and go to a church there and go to confession. Don't let those things stop you. It's not about just like in the gospel, where was the man? What was Jesus writing? It's about to hear the words, no matter what you have done, go in peace, go and sin no more. I love you. So you can come on any of those times. If those don't work for you, call. You can make an appointment, you know, with one of the priests here. On April 12th, also, we're going to have a dinner before and after the penance service. I know sometimes it's hard if both parents or a single parent family, they're working, they have to get home, feed their family. We have dinner ready for you, a delicious fish dinner. It's free. You don't have to RSVP. You can come and eat and then come to the penance service, or you can come to the penance service and go celebrate and have dinner. What's important is we recognize I'm not perfect. I can be better. I want to be better. And Lord, help me. That's the humility that Jesus is asking from us. Then things will begin to change. Then we begin to forget the things of the past and look forward to this bright future that Jesus is preparing for us. I am doing something new. Let us all be part of this newness that God is offering us.